Hello, and welcome to Prickly, a podcast from KJZZ's Politics Desk.
Thank you for listening. I'm Cameron Sanchez.
I'm Wayne Shutsky.
And I'm political editor Ben Giles. Today, we're going to talk about Arizona's newest, recently rebranded political party. Cameron, tell us, what is the Arizona Independent Party?
Well, until recently, it was the No Labels Party, which was one of our third parties, and has a new leader, a new chair, and a new name going into this upcoming 2026 election. So the Arizona Independent Party is not the same as unaffiliated Arizona voters, who we traditionally call independents with a lowercase I. But this party is pitching itself basically as a home for moderate voters who are in the center. And it's also a way for those quote-unquote independents to get on the ballot without having to turn in so many signatures. There are signature requirements to get on the ballot, and for established parties, those are much lower than for unaffiliated voters. So I spoke with the new Arizona Independent Party chair, Paul Johnson, who is the former Phoenix mayor, about his goals.
I don't dislike either the Democrat or the Republican Party. I think they both provide value. But right now, we're not getting the best out of them. We're getting the worst out of them. And the ones who should be more moderate, they're afraid to speak up. Now, everybody knows that on the Republican side, they seem to be afraid to speak up because of Trump. But believe me, it's no different on the Democratic side. They're afraid to speak up because of their excesses, because of their groups that they have to deal with that are more extreme.
Okay, Cameron. So what was once the No Labels Party is now the Arizona Independent Party. Can you explain why they went through this name change?
Yeah, mostly it was the result of a lawsuit. The National No Labels Party sued because they only wanted to recruit candidates for some races, namely for president and for vice president. And they didn't want candidates under that banner running in lower races, like local elections. But they did not succeed in that lawsuit. So here the party has rebranded. It's no longer affiliated with the National No Labels Party. And now the name change is a part of that to sort of distinguish it. And some folks, like Democratic consultant Tony Connie, think that the name change is actually intentionally confusing.
I don't think it's going to be confusing to Arizona independent voters, but I do think that the name change was probably a play to confuse voters that don't want to be a Republican or don't want to be a Democrat.
There are others who are more concerned than Connie, though. We actually recently saw a letter come from the Arizona Citizens Clean Elections Commission, which is this voter-created group that is in charge of voter education, clean funding for candidates, that kind of thing. And they actually asked Secretary of State Adrian Fontes to rescind his decision approving this renaming of the party, because it's really a novel thing, right? Like, if you think about the other parties we have in the states, Republicans, Democrats, Greens, even Libertarians, even those third-party groups, they're kind of well-known brands, right? And they're not just going around willy-nilly changing their names. And state law doesn't actually say anything about what you have to do to change a name. So Fontes ultimately decided that because state law is silent on the subject, that it's up to the party to decide. People don't really know this, but parties are private organizations. So it's part of their First Amendment rights, Fontes kind of argues, is to make decisions about what they want to do. Paul Johnson became the leader of this party through the legal process, and it's up to him and the rest of the members of the party to decide about that name. But Clean Elections, like Connie, some of the commissioners think that this is an intentional thing to confuse voters, and that it will be confusing for voters, either whether it was intentional or not. You know, those small I independents now might accidentally register with this party, not knowing, and that could have implications for what shows up on their ballot later. So we don't really know what the next step is here. Fontes does not seem keen to rescind his decision. And Clean Elections, in some of their meetings, have mentioned that lawsuits or potentially asking lawmakers to clarify the law could be two steps that we see going forward.
So for now, as a public service announcement, let's just repeat the fact there are lowercase I independents. Those are voters in Arizona who choose not to affiliate with any political party, but Arizona is unique in that it still provides those voters a lot of opportunities to cast ballots, not just in the general election, but in the primary as well. But now there's also a capital I independent party. Wayne, this all begs the question, why did Paul Johnson and the folks who were running this newly rebranded party go with such a confusing name?
So Johnson says it's not supposed to be confusing, you know, and when you're actually registering to vote, you know, depending on where you are, it probably won't say independent lowercase I if that's what you want. It might say no party designated, NDP, that kind of thing. But he said they actually went out and they polled independent voters, existing members of the No Labels Party. You know, there's about 40,000 of them, and that he says they were all on board with this by and large. And so he hopes that his party's presence will make Democrats and Republicans try harder to attract voters in the middle, not just confuse independent voters into joining up.
I describe a win for me in a couple of ways. First one is that we create real competition, that we give people who didn't have access and access to the ballot. But here's the most important thing, and that is that if what we accomplish is that we take other people who are inside the system and they recognize they have to go back after these independent voters, that is a huge win for us.
Okay, so Johnson says he wants this capital I independent party to attract moderate Arizona voters. Is there any sense that they'll actually be able to accomplish that?
I mean, a lot of that is going to depend on the actual candidates they field. You know, if they can get some high-profile folks who kind of meet in the middle there, maybe a former Republican or a former Democrat who feel like they're not really a part of that party anymore, that might help. But if it's a bunch of people we've never heard of, it might be a little bit more difficult. That being said, more than a third of Arizona voters do identify as lowercase I independents. They are the second largest voting bloc of the group. But Democratic political strategist Tony Connie, who we heard from earlier, he noted that those voters are still partisan. They're not exactly, you know, all just these moderate voters Johnson says he's going after. And he says that the new independent party lacks a clear vision.
When it comes to what voters are looking for now, I'm just perplexed by this idea that voters want someone who's like dead in the middle when we have, you know, Ruben Gallego in the Senate, who, you know, was a pretty progressive Democrat when he was in the legislature and in Congress. And we have Donald Trump, who won the presidency, who, of course, isn't a moderate force. I think what voters are looking for is somebody who will have a bold stance and will work to get things done, like to actually accomplish things. And I'm not so sure that they're going to view a third party candidate as someone who can do that.
Johnson told me he would honestly be happy if either the Republican or Democratic parties broadened their appeal because of him and put him out of business. He says that his issue is those Republican and Democratic candidates, if they're in a safe red or blue district, they don't really bother to try and appeal to most of the voters in primaries who are independent or not their base, only the ones who they think will come out and vote for them who are already on their side.
It's not that hard to do it. Just go appeal to them. They're mainstream voters. There's a reason that 36% of the voters have said they no longer want to be a part of either of those two political parties. Figure out why. Go talk to them. Include them in. Poll them. Try to understand where they're coming from. Find a way to open your doors to them. And they're doing the exact opposite in every way they can.
Right. As Wayne said earlier, we have, you know, three main blocks of voters in Arizona. We have Republicans who have the most registered voters, and then it's those lowercase I independents, those non-affiliated voters are the second biggest block of voters, followed by Democrats. So what do the two parties sandwiching our lowercase I independents, Democrats and Republicans, think about this new Arizona Independent Party rebrand, Wayne?
Well, I sat down with Republican strategists Marcus Dellartino and Bob Charles and kind of posed that question for them. And they're still not really sure how seriously those two major parties will take this new independent party. Again, a lot of it is going to depend on factors like who the candidates are. And here's Marcus's take.
I don't know if initially it's going to change that much. And that is, I think when they look at the general election, they're going to have to evaluate, are these independents truly going to show up? And historically, Bob and I will tell you, they don't. And so they won't feel that threatened going into the general election.
Good point.
But I will tell you that the other threat for both parties, and I've said this publicly a few times, so I'm not as scared to say it, but I think what most people don't understand is the amount of money that is at stake here for both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. And if you present a threat to that, people get pretty upset. And I think that that's the fury and the fire that's going to be coming the independents' direction.
There's another wrinkle that we haven't mentioned about this rebrand, that the Arizona Independent Party has also joined forces with a group called Forward. Wayne, can you explain what that group is, why they've teamed up, and what does this mean for the new Independent Party platform?
Yeah, so we have a lot of ping-ponging here. This started as National No Labels coming into Arizona to field a third-party presidential candidate. That didn't work out. They wanted out of the business when they had to field more candidates, so a local person took them over. And now we're back with another national group coming in called Forward. This was started by Andrew Yang. He's the entrepreneur who tried to also pose kind of a Democratic presidential candidacy, independent, trying to lean towards those moderate voters again. So they say the reason that they're partnering with this new Independent Party in Arizona is they share kind of a common goal of creating a place for candidates who attract those moderate voters. And from Paul Johnson's side, the new chair of the Arizona Independent Party, says Forward has built the infrastructure needed to run serious campaigns. That's the biggest thing. The biggest obstacle facing these third parties, whether it's the Greens or the Libertarians, what have you, is they just don't have the money and the infrastructure. And so what Johnson says is this Forward Party is going to provide that, the fundraising infrastructure, the professional political staff, all those kind of things that they need if they want to seriously contend with the other parties.
So we'll see how far that new infrastructure gets the new Arizona Independent Party. But Cameron, is there any indication yet that, you know, as Wayne was talking to the political consultant class, should Democrats or Republicans be taking this new party as a serious threat to, you know, their own blocks of voters? And if so, do we think that the capital I Independent Party is going to be more of a problem for Democrats or Republicans?
Yeah, there's definitely some debate over that. It kind of depends on who you ask. And it was a question that we posed to both the Democratic and Republican consultants who we spoke with. DeLartino says Republicans are doing well no matter what. They're doing well with voter registration numbers. They're on the rise in his mind. So it's really independents and Democrats who he thinks need to watch out for one another, and considers this to be more of a threat to the Democratic Party, which has not been as successful in raising up their numbers. And this could potentially, in his mind, be sort of a spoiler for them, potentially. Especially in the governor's race, he thinks that a really good, viable independent candidate could hurt incumbent Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs.
I mean, it's tough to define that right now without knowing the candidate and what they stand for and what they're going to be out espousing. So, but if you just went off the general context of it, I think you would say it'd have to hurt Katie a little bit. You know, she certainly had a strength with independent numbers.
But Democratic strategist Tony Kanny, again, he actually says he thinks this new party will be more harmful to Republicans, especially those MAGA Republicans. He thinks that the AIP, that's what we're calling this this new party for shorthand, is home for more traditional business-minded Republicans who don't support maybe President Donald Trump and who really haven't been able to find any success in these Republican primaries where those really grassroots MAGA voters are kind of hold sway. Maybe they haven't been able to get past those primaries, so they can't make it to the general election. So now this Independent Party could become a home for them. And he doesn't think those Republicans are necessarily a bigger threat to Democrats, even though Governor Katie Hobbs, someone like her, did need to draw on them. For example, Connie says he doesn't believe Hobbs would have lost to a non-MAGA challenger in 2022, even though many others feel like she would have had a much worse chance against that type of candidate.
When it comes to the challenge to save the soul of the Republican Party, right, which I think some of the people who are involved in this might be thinking that that's what this will do. The problem is there haven't been Republicans who've been willing to stand up and openly speak out against Trump, not many, or stand up against these things. And, you know, you hear someone who's involved whispers or people like, oh, I wish it wasn't like this or blah, 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 blah. But you need someone who's going to have the, you know, the courage and the sort of moral clarity to stand up. And the emergence of this third party, I don't think that that is a way that these people who have been too afraid to stand up and take a stand are going to stand up and take a stand. Like, I don't think it's going to attract that type of person. And so I don't know how much of an impact it will have if that's the goal of that particular of this party, is to sort of find a way to allow business-minded Republicans to win when, you know, those business-minded Republicans are backing these same candidates that they're saying that they have a problem with, you know, privately.
All right. So we have the opinion of the Republican and Democratic political consultants. What does Paul Johnson, the head of this new Arizona Independent Party, who does he think his new party will affect the most?
He sounds like he's hoping it'll affect them both equally. And he says it's up to those parties as to how much damage the AIP is going to inflict. And as the former Democratic mayor of Phoenix, he kind of scoffed at the idea that his party is designed as a place for those traditional business-minded Republicans. And Johnson was also a supporter of an open primary measure in 2024, which voters rejected, which would have made it easier for third-party candidates.
We tried to do an open primary, which was a way to open up the process and let more people participate. And both of them not only did everything they could to stop it, they told a bunch of things that just weren't true. I mean, one group was saying that it was supported by Donald Trump, and the Donald Trump group was saying that it was opposed by the people who hated Donald Trump, and it was neither. But nonetheless, they get to make that choice, and they'll pay the consequence for it.
Okay, so we know that voters have sort of rejected this this open primary system that would have that was intended to upend the traditional Democratic-Republican Party dominance. In this new format, with this new third party, what kind of candidates is Johnson hoping to recruit, candidates who could really make an impact as soon as the 2026 election?
He says he wants candidates who are in the middle, but in terms of their policy, he says it doesn't necessarily matter on certain issues, but he does want candidates who are going to focus especially on the economy and candidates who say they're willing to work with both sides of the aisle if and when they get elected. He says that he doesn't want candidates who are focused on negative rhetoric, on hating the other side. And to make it clear who he is supporting in these primary elections as they come up, he says he is willing to make endorsements.
Endorsements of just independent party candidates, though.
Right. He will endorse people in his own primaries to make it clear who the party stands behind coming from the chair.
Though it's worth noting that Forward, the national group that he's partnering with, has made endorsements of candidates from the major parties if they kind of fall in line with the same policy goals that they have.
Really, Johnson is very disapproving of the way that the Republican and Democratic parties have been operating. He thinks there's too much hatred, too much anti-other rhetoric, and he doesn't approve of that. So he wants an environment where they're more open to hearing the other side.
On a daily basis, they beat up the political brand of who we are. And they've created this environment where one group doesn't like our future and the other group doesn't like our past. My answer to that is they're wrong. And it's certainly not where most Americans are.
So as Cameron mentioned, Johnson really hasn't staked out a lot of policies that these candidates should have to align on, you know, very broadly popular things like a balanced budget or maybe, you know, support for public education and public safety, that kind of thing. But really the only item in which candidates would have to actually prescribe to or back is that open primaries effort. He said candidates will have to sign on in support of that if they want his endorsement.
Okay, so he's still pushing for, while running this new party, he's also still pushing for an open primary system, still pushing for that effort to upend the normal political dominating class of Republicans and Democrats. But this also sounds like a function of the uniqueness of the Arizona Independent Party in that other than this affiliation with Forward, it's not affiliated with a national independent party that, you know, meets every 2 or 4 years and adopts a party platform and things like that. It's really just flying by the seat of its pants.
Well, I would say that kind of is part and parcel of the goal, though, right? As well, you know, being an independent party, you're not affiliated with these national groups that are going to dictate from the top down. I think that's part of what Johnson sees as the issue with the major parties. But we do see independent parties popping up in other states, similar veins. But as you said, yes, this isn't part of a larger group. It is really focused at the state level. That being said, Johnson said they are focused at looking at running candidates up and down the ballot from governor all the way down to legislative races and things like that.
So we're not going to have an Arizona Independent Party platform on things like abortion or gun rights.
No, Johnson's plan really has skirted those really controversial issues. You know, as Cameron mentioned, saying that they'd rather take candidates who have a diversity of ideas and are just willing to hear the other side out. But Bob Charles, another Republican strategist, says it's not that easy to skirt those controversial issues that voters really, really care about.
Think about Arizonans. We're not really identity politics voters. We're issues. Water, huge. Education, huge. Immigration, huge. Any sort of candidate is going to have to take a stance on one of those issues, if not all of those issues. And that will immediately put them in one camp or the other. And that's where it's going to determine who is it going to hurt and can they actually be viable in a general election.
Sure, very true. We'll have to see what kind of candidates decide to jump into, you know, races up and down the ballot. As you said, Wayne, the governor's race, legislative races. We'll see who feels like they've found a new home with the Arizona Independent Party pretty quickly in 2026 as candidates start to meet those signature gathering requirements to qualify for the ballot. We will be following that and letting you know who these new candidates are.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Prickly Podcast from KJZZ's Politics Desk. And tune in to 91.5 to hear our coverage or log on to kjzz.org.
And please subscribe to the Prickly Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.